I'm sorry, are you sure this is the podcast you were looking for? Really? Okay then. Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast. Every week, our sad little team discusses gaming in various forms, make stupid wisecracks, and generally embarrass themselves quite well with their so-called expert opinions. Remember, you did this to yourself.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Billus.
And this is our 2018 Year in Review show, whatever. We are contractually obligated to do one of these every fucking year because it is the last show of the year. Woohoo!
Yes.
Yeah, so, anyway, that's kind of cool. You know, yay. Some people do this the first show of the next year, but I like to do that as a catch-up show. Whatever. Anyway, so, year in review.
Yes.
Why don't we talk about what we feel was the most important gaming story of the year?
Okay. Why don't you lead it off?
I will. And I know a lot of people are going to probably go, that's not really a 2018 story. But I think it is because it concluded just a few weeks ago in 2018. And that was the very quiet death of WildStar. Now, I know WildStar's been dying since it launched, 5 years ago or something?
Yeah.
It's been a while. Anyway.
The door got shot in the face and it's been slowly bleeding out.
Yeah. I mean, there was so much hype for that game. And to be honest, it was a polished game. It was a really good game. It had a good launch, in my opinion. I never had a problem with it. It was fun. It really was. I pre-ordered it. I was in the beta. I played it at launch. I bought a 1-year subscription to it when it first came out. But 8 months in, I had already canceled that, and I barely played it anymore because, Carbine just shit the bed and completely disregarded the needs of the majority of their player base in favor of the top 1-5% of players. And even then, those people complained, the raids are too hard. And they promised this great PvP experience, but they never had enough PvP players to pull it off.
Well, because the PvP players at the time were already happy with the games they were in.
Right.
If they had just made it a game that was based around the majority of the players and what they were interested in, which is what all of the trailers, all of the comments all the hype that was being built up around this game, that's what they said they were focused on. Yes, it was supposed to be difficult, it was supposed to be a hard game, but it was going to be rewarding. It was going to be fun. It was going to have all these cool things you could do. Your profession would matter.
Yeah.
Your profession matters in the fact that you're giving them money. That's about as much as you mattered to them.
Basically,
what you wanted did not matter.
The game had content for all playstyles: solo, small group, raiding, PvP, exploration, crafting. It had even people who were just into housing. It had a good housing system. It literally had something for everyone. Unfortunately, not enough, and certainly no real end game for 95% of their player base.
Well, you don't need this, be all end all end game, but you do need something for people to do when they reach the end. And if the only thing you're giving them is raiding, most of your players are going to go, now I'm bored, and they're going to leave.
Yeah.
Especially, and if it's a subscription based game, that's kind of counterproductive to what you're planning.
Yeah. I mean, people could say, WoW does the same thing, but at least WoW has looking for raid. It has a nerfed version of the raids that you can go do essentially solo. It puts you into a raid group, but everyone goes and runs around and does their own thing. And basically, beats the game. As long as everyone's there and kind of does something, you eventually can beat the LFR raid and get something. So about they're focusing on now about 30% of their player base, which is something. It's not keeping everybody, but it's something.
Well, the other thing that WoW did is WoW came out at the right time.
Yes.
So that even though they didn't have this be-all, end-all end game, they had enough to keep the players interested, to keep them invested. And those players, as the game went on, they have so much invested in this game, they're not going to just walk away. Or at least the majority of them did not just walk away immediately. They stuck around, and they, some of those sloughed off, and eventually, their numbers have dwindled.
But significantly.
WoW is too new to just start that process. People are already burned by that process. They don't want to do it again. Yeah. There wasn't enough to keep people occupied. Their quests were not these fantastic and amazing things. They were just bland. And
it was a lot of same old, same old.
Game, bland is not gonna cut it.
Yeah. But then they went free to play. And
it helped a little bit.
It did. They got a burst in players, but then that went away too, because the people that were bought it because, it's a subscription game, they felt betrayed and left because they'd been told that it was always going to be a subscription game. So Carbine just screwed everything up all along the line and eventually just couldn't catch a break. In the end, by late November of this year, they still had a small core player base. It wasn't enough to keep the game open, apparently, but they were dedicated. They loved the game, and they were there until the servers shut down. I guess it was a pretty, melancholy, experience where people were there. There was devs in there, and, the community team and whatnot. They were all in the game waiting for, and then the servers got shut off. They all were there as one final shared experience. And it never should have happened, because there are games that are significantly older and significantly less fun, that have less content, less things to do than WildStar had. And they're still running. They're still chugging along with very small player bases because there's companies, the publisher is willing to keep them up. This is the second time NCSoft has done this.
Yeah,
where they just went, hey, City of Heroes, it's got a core player base. In fact, they admitted it was still making money as a subscription game. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It had gone free to play by then. But I think it was a long time ago. Maybe I'm mixing it up.
It was free to play because I played it for a while.
Okay, but anyway, it wasn't a game for everybody, but there was a player base that it was still making money. It was still okay, but they decided, nah. We moved to new servers, and it'd be too hard to keep this up because it won't run on the new servers. And we don't want to maintain some old servers for it, so fuck it. And they shut it down. It is apparently coming back. Ship of Heroes is coming. It'll be based on a spaceship. And they've gotten the green light to make it and everything. That's good. It's coming eventually. It's kind of a passion project. Whether that actually works, I don't know. But that's cool.
Yeah.
What I don't like is that WildStar's not a, hey, they can't hold it up on the, they're not moving to new servers or whatever, and they can't maintain it. No, they just shut it the fuck down because it wasn't performing well enough. Well, sell the fucker. A publisher can go, I'm not publishing it anymore, and sell the rights to do so to a different company. Maybe Gamigo, for example, who just bought up Tryon Worlds. Why not them? Why not Daybreak? Why not any number of companies?
Well, because they want to hang on to it just in case they decide to do WildStar 2.
But they're not all they did was publish it. The company that makes it is out of business. They own the IP for it.
Well, then they're pretty much screwed.
NCSoft could have saved this game, in my opinion. Maybe I don't know all the ins and outs on the inside, but from the way I'm viewing it, there have been games that have been bounced from publisher to publisher to publisher and have kept alive for years and years and years. APB, I'm looking at you. Fallen Earth, I'm looking at you. And they continue to chug along with extremely tiny player bases. But apparently it's enough to keep the lights on and to keep getting occasional content.
Well,
WildStar had a bigger population than that. They could have done something like that. Maybe if, even if they left it in maintenance mode.
Well, the other thing you were talking about is how there are games out there that are worse than WildStar and are still going along, like Star Wars, The Old Republic. That is such a steaming pile.
Comparing...
But it's still going.
I would say a better analogy here would be Anarchy Online. Funcom, which is always on the brink of bankruptcy, still continues to put out Anarchy Online. Maybe it's not costing them anything to keep it up. I don't know. But it's still up there. Meanwhile, WildStar, which is a much superior science fiction project in every way, shape, and form, with one exception, it doesn't have procedural dungeons like Anarchy Online has, but nobody does, and that's the one reason Anarchy Online's awesome. Regardless, WildStar is dead. Anarchy Online continues. WildStar is dead. Star Wars The Old Republic still continues. What fuck?
Well, the one thing I'm seeing, now I know this is kind of a jump off of the thread, but WildStar has one thing in common with something else that, you know, came out and went away quickly. Now, maybe it has something to do with it was science fiction, but it was also kind of Western.
Okay.
And that reminds me of Serenity, you know, my brain just isn't working today.
Firefly?
Yes, Firefly. That was an amazing series.
Yes.
Lasted one season, gone, because there just wasn't enough people to keep it going. Same kind of setting. Science fiction with a little bit of Western.
Actually, the analogy is even deeper than that, because you can think it was such a full and awesome world that they were building. It had so much potential, and yet it was handled poorly by Fox. They showed the episodes out of order, so it was hard to follow the story, and didn't even show the last couple episodes that were left. You had to see those on the DVD collection. Me too. Anyway, point is, it was handled badly from the start. And basically, they doomed it. Well, Carbine and NCSoft did the same exact thing to WildStar. It was such a great concept, and yet it was handled so poorly year after year after year that now it's dead. And may never come back. I honestly don't think anyone will ever resurrect it. The name of WildStar is pretty much mud in the industry. Now, if somebody came back and said, oh, we've completely reworked it, it's going to be so much better this time, some people might try it and maybe it would succeed. But you're always going to have those people going, oh, that game sucked. You're always going to have that. It's always going to be tainted by what Carbine and NCSoft did with that game. So it's pretty much doomed right out of the gate. And that's unfortunate. And I think if Carbine were to still exist, because I think they were, you know, broken up and taken apart, if they had still existed and were continuing to make games, they would be haunted by that. Hey, their last game sucked. Why is this? Why should we have any faith in this one? When in fact, the game really didn't suck. It really was fun, and it was challenging.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much good in that game if they hadn't fucked it up. Anyway, so I thought that was the most important game story of the year.
Yeah. Well, my most important story is, if you think way back when that one disgruntled YouTuber happened to discover pedophiles in the Magic the Gathering community.
Oh, Jeremy Hambley.
Yes, and how, you know, that's one of those things that this is something that, you know, should not be. And you'd think that everybody would just jump all over a chance to purge the pedophiles from the ranks of judges going to these, you know, pretty much poorly monitored situation, you know, these poorly monitored events, because yeah, they have security in name only, really, but you've got pedophiles in amongst children, and you don't just immediately jump all over the fact that somebody discovered pedophiles in amongst the judges. You just let it happen, and then you try to cover it up, and then you pass blame. Come on, really? Wizards of the Coast, you should be better than that. And the judges community, you should have stepped up and owned that. Yeah, we screwed up. We did not monitor who was becoming a judge. We should have done better research. Did they? Hell no.
Yeah. And the thing is, what was worse for it for me is that when the story came out, they pushed back. They tried to hide it. They tried to disassociate themselves from the judges that were found to be, you know, convicted pedophiles, and rallied the troops around these people and around the judges program. Are y'all dumb?
I know.
Shouldn't protecting children be above all these other things? I just, wow.
Well, and you had verified, prosecuted pedophiles in your judges' ranks. So it's not a matter of someone's accused him of being a pedophile. No, you have proof. This person is on the sex offenders list, and you still don't do anything? I mean, we've got people who are being, you know, they're being accused of something, and whether it's been proven, you know, nobody's gotten around to proving it or not, but that person's life turns to crap just because of an accusation. Guilty or not, they're getting kicked off of shows. They're getting, you know, pretty much their career gets flushed, and here you've got this guy did time for this crime, and yet you try to hide it? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, it was really, really poor choices. Not just out of the judges program, but out of Wizards of the Coast as well. They were so slow to react, and part of the problem was is that they had problems with the guy who was reporting it. Jeremy Hambley of The Quartering is basically was persona non grata when it came to Wizards of the Coast. He had been banned from all of their sanctioned events, things like that. He couldn't even play the online game. He lost. Eventually, they did give him back, by the way, the value of his cards in the online game because they banned him for no reason. But, and he was going to sue them. But eventually, you know, they came around a little bit, but not enough. And it's just sad. The whole thing's sad. And it made me lose a huge amount of respect for Wizards of the Coast. I don't see myself buying any Magic products anymore.
No.
There are other games out there. There are better games out there to play. I could be playing their online version right now. In fact, I stream Gwent on occasion, which is the card game based off of The Witcher. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about playing some Hearthstone, but there's so many people playing Hearthstone. It's, you know, easy to get lost in the crowd. It's like playing World of Warcraft. you know, streaming World of Warcraft. Unless you're huge, nobody's going to pay attention. But Magic the Gathering, that would be something I could have done. Yeah, no thanks. No, not going to give Wizards anything for that. And you know what? It may seem hypocritical because I will support Wizards when it comes to Dungeons and Dragons. But yeah, when it comes to Magic the Gathering, I won't, because basically I'm trying to let them know I'm one, not that they care, but I'm one less consumer they have. I'm one less person buying their product because of how they acted, not how they treated Hambly. Hambly's an asshole. Everybody knows this. But how they responded to an actual crisis in their gaming community to try and push blame off, to ignore it and slough it off and say, oh, that's not our issue. The judges program is completely separate from us. And then, we're not actually going to ban that person. We banned Hambly because he made a cosplayer cry, but we're not going to ban somebody who touches children. We're not going to take the game access away from a game store owner who was videotaping people in the bathroom of his store and getting touchy-feely with girls in his shop.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to take away his ability to buy product. Oh, no. Seriously? At that point, I was like, I don't care what they do to turn it around. I'm sure they have done stuff. And I remember we covered that at the start of the year for quite a while. But yeah. I'm through. It wore me out. I can't keep following it. It just pisses me off.
Well,
big story, though.
Oh, yeah. Huge story. So, yeah, that's my biggest story of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good one. So, I just realized I have to change my best game of the year.
Okay.
Because in looking at it, mine came out in February 2017. Whoops.
Well, would you like me to do mine while waiting?
You certainly can. Oh, I found another one. I found a replacement, okay. But you can go ahead with yours.
Well, quite a while back, a little game came out called Red Dead Redemption, and it was akin to playing Grand Theft Auto in the Wild West.
Yep.
It was silly, stupid fun. Just, the chaos of Grand Theft Auto set in the Wild West. Well, this year they brought out the sequel, and it's now set in the South. So, you've got your post-Civil War issues, and you've got, all these other things going on. But the creator of the game has gone ahead and added to the game. They've made it more than just Grand Theft Auto in the Old South. It's more story-driven. And it's like the game matured.
Oh, yeah.
Some. It's more defined. It sometimes it can be exceedingly harsh. One of the reviewers was talking about he lost his horse in the mountains far from town.
Whoops.
And he was pretty certain he's not going to survive the long drudge walk home. other people were talking about, don't lose your horse, period. Especially at night. Bears. Oh, my God. Bears. Kind of thing. And the oh, my God, bears part was, it's basically going back to something that my wife says. She plays one of those survival horror games in the Arctic. Not Arctic. It's in like Alaska or something. And she gets attacked by wolves all the time and ends up, punching them in the face and they run away. But bears don't run away. Bears eat you.
Yeah.
If you survive a bear attack, you're lucky. But anyhow, it's just stupid fun with more story more everything. It's just like it should be for a sequel, just an advancement and an improvement on the earlier game. So that's my best game of the year. I think it's a fun game and a worthy addition to the vault of games.
Sure. Here's the one thing I look at it is that if something's going to be, for me, best game of the year, especially if it's console-based,
mm-hmm.
is it a game that tells me, if I see it and go, that is a game I would buy a console, a new console, to be able to play? And I'd say Red Dead Redemption 2
yes.
is among those.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if it's a PC game, would I be willing to upgrade my PC for it? Along those lines, right?
Yeah.
Well, my choice, my new choice for best game of the year, because my old choice was Horizon Zero Dawn, but I don't have a PlayStation 4, and apparently that came out in February 2017. So, really good game. Apparently so good it's best game of the year in 2 years. Instead, I went and looked. Not a lot of games I know about really were among the tops out there. So it was a tough choice. But if I had to choose one that came to mind, God of War.
Yeah.
Now, I know it just happened to have won Game of the Year from the recent Game Awards 2018. And I got to agree, this is a game I would buy a PlayStation 4 Pro for. Not mm-hmm. specifically because I like God of War games. That's an action RPG, more of an action fighter game, historically. But this instead, it still has those aspects, but it's more story driven. Right. It is, you know, he is now up in the north fighting northern gods and mythological creatures. He lost his wife, and now he's trying to raise his son, who you have to also manage. And it's a complete, significant character change from the way Kratos was. Oh, kill the gods, you know, sort of thing. It's just this bloodthirsty monster looking for revenge. Well, here, yeah, there's some of that, but it's also, he's got to think about his son. He's got to think about, you know, he's got to keep himself alive for his son. And there was a few other games that I was really considering too, but that one just really spoke to me as a, yeah, that is one of those iconic games that's going to stand out years down the line as, you know what, I'm going to pop open the PlayStation and throw that in and play that because, wow. That was an experience. It's an experience that you can replay and enjoy. So kind of open world, but not, you know, I guess it's on rails a little bit, but just really, really good game. And in a year where there wasn't a whole lot of really, really good games.
Yeah, especially not a lot of games in the genres that I like to play in.
Right. I mean, it wasn't like we had a lot of new MMOs or anything coming out, and the expansions were meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, just to get back on track, my worst game of the year is a great example of this. It was super hyped. It was super big. It's not even a game in itself, but it might as well have been. Did you know World of Warcraft put out an expansion this year?
Yeah.
Battle for Azeroth.
Uh-huh.
They done fucked up.
That's what I've been hearing.
It's really, really bad. Legion, their last expansion, was really damn good. It made a lot of positive changes. I enjoyed it anyway. And from just early stuff, seeing from Battle for Azeroth, I was like, no thanks, I'm out, canceled my account. I won't buy it. And a lot of people who did buy it are feeling some significant remorse. And now, just a couple weeks ago, but I think coming up next Tuesday, as of the time we're recording this, their first patch, their first major patch, 8.1, is coming out for Battle for Azeroth. And it's been received with a collective, meh, hey, Why don't you just fix the fucking game? It adds nothing of worth, nothing people were looking for. And you got some fanboys going, oh my God, so awesome. But for the most part, people were like, you know what? Fuck you, Blizzard. We're done. This is the best you can do. Wow. This might be the expansion that kills WoW in the end. Well, I think
drives it free to play.
Well, I think they're going to stay operating for a while because, you know, Blizzard has all the money along with Activision.
I don't know about that.
They're going to bank on people rejoining the game to play WoW Classic, which they get as part of their subscription when it launches in the summer. So they're going to bank on people coming back for that. But if people come rushing back to play WoW Classic and WoW itself is just hanging on by a thread because people's all playing Classic and they're not playing BFA because BFA done suck. What the fuck? That spells the end for the game. It really does. They're trying to get back to their roots, trying to get back to the whole Alliance versus Horde, and they fucked everything up in the process.
Well, part of the problem is that Activision holds the purse strings. Yeah, Blizzard might have made all the money, but now there's all kinds of internal. I mean, one of the devs came out and pretty much explained how poorly people feel about working for Blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, like they've got like 6 or 7 Blizzard developers living together just so they can afford rent.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
And then they took away the bonus that was what made them make as much as their contemporaries with other companies. Now they don't get that bonus. Oh, it's being rolled into your regular salary. So they get raises. But the bonus was based off of that year's income. And so it would be sometimes way more than their regular income.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're just going with, well, we're just going to approximate, which means they're giving them a lowball version. So, yeah, they're going to make more, but not. I don't.
Well, and then there's also how they've decided that now they're going to take all these, you know, Blizzard IPs and they're going mobile. They're putting all their best developers towards the mobile platforms for Diablo, etc.
Honestly, as a company, don't blame them for that because mobile is where they're making their money now.
World of Warcraft, all of your players, your fan base, who they just received a very lackluster expansion, and their hopes of the next Diablo being, you know, released soon, you know, they've got all these wants, and you just pretty much spit in their face by A, Diablo is not going to be Diablo 4, it's Diablo Mobile.
Yeah.
Which nobody asked for. And then you've got World of Warcraft. All the best developers who've been creating content that has kept you playing for all these years. Now they're just moving them and you get left with the rest. You know, the lesser talents, let's just say.
The third string.
Exactly. How do you feel? All your loyalty is getting you jack shit. You're getting fuck all from a company that you've been loyal to for 10 plus years.
Yeah. Well, here's an example. World of Warcraft has been languishing for a while. I mean, they hit their cap of like 12 million players back at Wrath of the Lich King. And things were going downhill from there. But when Legion came out, they actually spiked up again to about 10 million players for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And it faded down. And before BFA came out, they were in the 5.5 to 6 million range from what people could tell. And we know they've announced that they've sold like 3.5 million copies of Battle for Azeroth. But from some leaks, by the time it came out, they only had 3 million players. And those same leaks said that they were under 2 million by October. And people are getting, it hasn't gotten better from there. It's only gotten worse. How many people do they still have playing this game? When are the server mergers coming?
Well, they're going to have to do something fast because empty servers drives customers away.
Yeah. I know they can mask it some because they have all these, you know, cross-server grouping and cross-server rating and all that, quote-unquote, which puts you in with people from other servers and whatnot. So even when you're wandering around in the world, last time I was in there, I'd see people run by and they were from other servers because they just happened to be on my server at the time. And that makes it look like there's more people actually there than there really is. Now, I know that's kind of, you know, tinfoil hat sort of situation, but it would not surprise me if they're keeping a lot of servers open in name only. And yeah, there'll be other people playing there, but they're coming from other servers. They really have effectively done server mergers already by just shoving these servers into server clusters. And now that the PvP servers are really not anymore.
Yeah.
Everything's PvE because nobody was doing open world PvP and they're trying to bribe people to do it. Blizzard, you're all fucked up. Anyway, so that was my worst game of the year. How about you?
Well, my worst game of the year was going to be Sea of Thieves. And I was, before I decided that was going to be the game that I, you know, basically shat on, I wanted to check and see if anything had changed since the last time we had, you know, discussed it.
Right.
And apparently, it's moved from being one of the worst games to being in the running for one of the better games of the year because of all of the steady stream of updates that they're adding to the game.
It's true. I mean, I just had a guy on a recent live stream ask me if I was going to live stream Sea of Thieves. And he said if I did, that he'd be willing to show me the ropes. He wanted to play together. He's just trying to encourage me to get Sea of Thieves and play it.
So I had to, you know, look around and try out some other games and see what I thought. And I found something much, much worse. You know, okay. You're a fan of Mario Kart racing, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's a lot of fun. You know, you've got all these characters from Nintendo's, you know, basically their whole wardrobe of different tunes to play, you know, Mario and Donkey Kong, etc.
Sure.
And they've tried this before with other IPs, you know, like Sonic had a version of it, etc. You know, I know the like Simpsons did it, and yeah,
some are more successful than others.
Exactly. Well, this is in the vein of not successful because they absolutely screwed everything up. I'm not a huge fan of Nickelodeon, but apparently they decided somewhere along the line that this would be a great idea, so they've got Nickelodeon kart races. Karts being spelled with a K.
You mean like Nickelodeon cartoons?
Yes. Like, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants. Yeah.
Okay.
From what I heard in the little bit that I was able to play around with, the tracks, I couldn't tell on some of those tracks what theme they were trying to emulate. You know, was this like Rugrats or was this whatever? You know, yeah. If they're theme tracks, they don't really look it. Every once in a while, you'd hear a voice that you recognized.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I have to admit, I'm not, you know, this huge, you know, Nickelodeon nerd. I don't know all the different shows, but I heard something that sounded like SpongeBob once, I think. It's like they just decided, you know, let's slap Nickelodeon's name on it, paste some faces on the drivers, and just throw something out there and make the money that we can. It sucks. It's lame.
So they couldn't even be bothered to get the actual voice actors for it.
They may have, but I didn't hear a whole lot of voice acting at all. Just a lot of noises. Huh. You know, whoopee.
Well, I can kind of see where they may have been coming from because, you know, nostalgia sells, as we know from like the classic consoles, you know, NES Classic, Sega Classic, SNES Classic. We'll ignore the PlayStation Classic, but whatever. They have, you know, nostalgia sells. Great. Good. Whatever. And the people that loved these shows that when they're on Nickelodeon are of the age to start buying stuff, right? So,
yes.
Good. Great. Whatever.
The idea is, yeah, if you're going to sell nostalgia and you want to, you know, keep these people buying your products, you can't just outright say, hey, look, it's a Nickelodeon race game, and then burn down the building around them. Not just burn the bridge. No, you're trapping them in this flaming building. They're not going to be happy with you. They may never, ever buy your product again. Yes, you got a few quick bucks, but your name is mud.
Yeah, it seems like more and more now it's just, you know, that quick buck is all they care about.
Well, they have to meet their stockholders' demands.
Development means nothing. Stockholders are everything. And
yeah, well, there's going to be those few game companies and game developers out there who actually still pay attention to quality, you know, creating a good product. It may not be the game that people want to play, but if it's a good game, they're going to sell that game.
Until EA buys the game studio.
Yeah.
And closes them down, takes all their IPs, and makes live services out of them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so what's funny is a lot of the people who you were used to talk about, oh no, games as a service is not a thing. That's just a few, you know, instances. This is not the wave of the future, you know? And now those same people are going, oh yeah, this is great. This is amazing. Games as a service. This is the way to go. We are so thrilled about this. It's like, shut up. Your credibility just went to the trash. Just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, that is fucking depressing. Oh,
so not, let's go to something more uplifting.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to end our 100th episode like that.
100 episodes, really?
I didn't mention that. This is our 100th episode.
Wow.
Theoretically, this show has been, because we don't take time off. We haven't missed a single week since start. So I figured for the usual, most shows take, you know, like a week break off for a holiday or a break for a vacation or whatever. Usually a couple breaks a year. We're really 2 years in. This is essentially our second anniversary, although technically that won't be till start of February, but whatever. Close enough. Second anniversary, 100th episode.
Woohoo!
Wow. Can't believe we made it this far. A couple times I didn't think we were going to make it this far. Because, you know, we did have quite the dip in listeners for a while.
We just need to bring Raelia back.
Yeah, she's busy.
I know.
As I look over at Ten Knife, she immediately knows what I'm talking about, just shakes her head. Nope. Nope. Anyway, so, yeah. Anyway, it's our 100th episode, and it's a milestone. It's a big deal. I'm happy about it. So, yeah. I thought we could talk about, you know, maybe our favorite story or episode from the last 2 years.
Sure.
What would yours be?
Mine would be the episode where we decided to help the role-playing, you know, tabletop game players and give them some advice. You know, we tried to, you know, explain to the young ladies who were getting into role playing for the first time, it's not okay for your dungeon master to make you feel awkward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to do sexual content that demeans your character or demeans you just by the, you know, the game he's trying to run. If it demeans you, get up and walk away.
Oh, yeah.
There are dungeon master / game masters out there who won't do that. You don't need to put up with that kind of stuff.
That's true. You
know, just we gave tips, advice, you know, because we've got decades of experience. We've done all the stupid things. We've been crappy game masters. Hell, sometimes I still am a crappy game master, but I'm trying to get better. So, yeah, it was fun to, I felt like we were actually, you know, doing something useful.
Yeah.
That episode, I felt like I was giving something to the viewer or to the listeners that mattered.
Yeah.
It was personal.
Yeah. And actually, we've done a few of those, mostly continuing on helping out new game masters and that sort of thing, but mm-hmm. all along the same lines. And we really need to get back to that. Maybe review our old shows and see if there's something new we can add, new ideas and thoughts to the topics. I'm sure there's stuff we've missed that we can add on to.
Oh, there's definitely stuff we've missed.
Yeah.
No. I watch Critical Role, and I'm not saying he's the best dungeon master out there, but he does a lot of things, and he pays attention to a lot of details that I haven't bothered with, and I really should, because I can see how it matters, how it affects the game, how it influences how the players respond.
Yep. Anyway. So,
anyway,
if I had to say any shows were my favorites, that would be the confessionals, the gamer confessional episodes we did with yes. Rylia.
I'm a whale.
Those were. Yeah, I'm a progression raider. If you go back through and listen to those shows, those were hilarious, among some of the most entertaining shows we've ever done, if I do say so myself.
I enjoyed them.
Those were amazing. I mean, the way we played off of each other and joked around, it was just really fantastic. Huge fun. I enjoyed the hell out of them, and I wish we could get back to doing those. It's a little hard with just the two of us, and
yeah.
I don't have a whole lot to confess anymore. I've kind of bared my soul, but it doesn't mean we can't use it as a way to joke and make fun of other memes and tropes in gaming, whether it be role-playing or video games or whatever. So that's definitely something we should return to in the next year.
Oh, most definitely.
At least once.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, I'd love it. Anyway, overall, just reminiscing about the show. No offense, but I miss our other co-host. I wish Raylia were back.
Well, it's nice having a female perspective, because we've been gaming together on and off for a long time, and our taste in games run fairly similar.
Yeah.
And having her perspective was like a breath of fresh air.
Especially as how we're primarily PC Master Race. And while she does play on the PC, she does a lot of console gaming. So she had that extra perspective, which really did add to the show. So if you're listening, Rylia, we can change the recording date. We can make this work. Whatever works for you, part-time, full-time, I don't care. Or, as another thought, if there's people out there that are interested in getting involved in a podcast, hit me up at squarmy.com or on our Discord or whatever. Contact us. I'm also at Squarmy on Twitter. We can at least schedule a meetup online and see how things go. Because, you know, a third host, looking over at 10, would be a good idea. Heck, if you could, you know, nail your wife down into a chair, Lyra would be a good co-host as well.
Yeah, but she's more of a night owl. She stays up all night and sleeps all day.
Yeah, I was going to say, daytime, you know, morning recording probably wouldn't work for her.
Probably not going to work for her.
But, no.
You know, we could always change the recording date, like you said.
Yeah, or the time. I mean, if 4 in the morning works better for her, well, probably more like midnight. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You're usually sleeping at night, but, you know, I'm up all night, and she's up most of the night, so...
And why don't you two do it, and I'll just sleep?
We might be able to arrange something, so... Anyway...
Actually, no. The two of you do not shouldn't have a podcast together, because then she'll talk about me when I'm not there.
And
I'm afraid of what she'll say.
The truth comes out.
Her version of it.
As for the show itself, you know, I've done a lot of podcasts, and while I haven't always been happy with Pixels and Dice, since you joined the show and it became a 2 or more host show, It's definitely improved in quality. It's not just me screaming in the wilderness, which is what all my other podcasts were. Although some of them were quite good, it was still me screaming in the wilderness, and most people don't want to hear that. I really think this has been some of my best work podcasting, and You've absolutely grown into quite a good co-host since joining. You were a little unsure yourself right at the start.
Well, I had no idea what I was doing.
Completely understandable. As you said, you'd never done it before, but now it's just bam, jump on, let's talk. And although our audience is kind of quiet, wouldn't mind a review on iTunes, guys. 5 stars would be nice. But, you know, while we don't get a lot of feedback, let's say, from our listeners, we do have listeners. I have heard from people that listen and have heard people say, especially they've come on my live stream and said, hey, just started listening to the show. I love it. Keep it up. And it's little things like that. I didn't get that with my other shows. This is a general rule. In fact, most of the feedback I got was negative. Now, things are so much better. And even though we only record, like, what, once every 3 weeks, the general rule?
Yeah.
I find it just that I look forward to those dates. Like, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk for a few hours, we're going to record some shows, and then later that night, I'll do the editing and get them up and ready to go for the next few weeks. That's fun. I love doing a little research and getting the shows ready. And then, you know, you come in with your perspectives and your ideas. And
well, and one of the things that this podcast has done is it's kind of forced me to look at other games, you know, especially video games, because, you know, games that I normally wouldn't play, I've started looking at with a different perspective. And one of the games I picked up from Steam this last it was during the Halloween sale.
Yeah.
Was Stardew Valley. It's a farming game. And I'm not a big fan of farming games, but I was kind of interested in it. And then I was reading the reviews of other games like it, and almost everybody who was talking about the game that they, you know, that I was looking into would say, yeah, it's a lot like Stardew Valley, but it lacks this, or it's not as fun as Stardew Valley, but it's still an okay game.
Yeah.
And I mean, almost every single comment was along that vein. And so I figured, well, why am I messing with these games? Let's just try Stardew Valley. And I understand why they're talking about it, because it's strangely addictive. I mean, it's weird. You're not really doing anything exciting, but you find yourself wasting hours upon hours playing this silly game.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife watched me playing it, and she's a fan of these farming games. And she has been playing it almost nonstop.
Wow.
And it's just, wow. It is definitely a fun game.
Thing about those farming simulators and games like them is they have little quiet little bits of biofeedback. Little bits that just you're working towards getting this crop raise, then you dealt with it, and you get a little burst of serotonin when you succeed in a certain thing. And it's little tiny bits like that to just keep you going. And it's kind of like what I found with Guild Wars 2, which I was playing the other night. By the way, you didn't show up because you were playing Stardew Valley. I saw it on Discord.
I didn't realize you were doing that.
I told you the week before I was going to be back on Saturday night. But anyway, doesn't matter. I was out there alone, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go explore a different zone. This time it was a 50 to 60 zone. It's a fiery zone, lots of flame, flame legion baddies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going around looking for things. I started out just wanting to find waypoints and maybe do a few vistas and not really work on the heart so much. And then, oh, look, there's some iron or platinum or whatever, or there's this, or there's, hey, look, I'm in an event, and I do the event. And then, oh, look, there's another event. I'd run over and do that event. And I ended up spending time between bouncing between vistas, waypoints, and grabbing events every time they showed up. Next thing I'd known, I'd blown 2 hours. Just disappeared on me from just jumping in and bouncing around. I was like, wow.
Well,
okay.
That's one of the benefits to the game. There's a lot to it. Yeah, I enjoy it.
You can get lost in it pretty easily, which is cool. And I liked that. Anyway, maybe it's about that time. Let me check. Oh, it's definitely about that time.
Oh, yeah.
Any other thoughts regarding end of the year review of 2018 or looking back on the show?
I guess I could sum it up with enjoy the holidays and don't be a dick.
There's always that. I would add, you know, don't enjoy the holidays too much. If you've had even a little bit to drink, hand over the keys to a friend, hire an Uber, or get a cab. Ask for New Year's is coming up. Most tow companies will tow your car home for free. Don't drive if you've had anything to drink. Don't risk it. We'd prefer you to come home safe and sound to be able to listen to the show next week.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. And don't drive and run into another one of our listeners who is just trying to get home safely because they're the designated driver or whatever. If you're a designated driver, you're awesome, by the way. I've been there many a time.
Many times.
Yeah, because I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, well, as a general rule, sometimes I play WoW and then I need to drink. Anyway, so, till next time, which will be next year. I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you actually listened to the whole episode? I'm frankly shocked, and have lost a little bit of respect for you, to be honest. But since you are obviously a glutton for punishment, why don't you drop by our new website, squirmy.com? It can't be a much bigger time waster than this podcast has been, can it? Actually, yes, it totally can, but check it out anyway.